umaga at magandang hapon mga kababayan. Welcome to another episode of Something Taglish, where we review Filipino movies, discuss about it, talk about it, and see what makes them great, what makes them terrible, and how can we make them better. With your host, Michael.
Ang pangarap kong holdep.
And Albert.
Ang pangarap.
And our very special guest, Gio.
Ang pangarap kong holdep.
This is Something Taglish.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And after we've been clapping to get our audio synced up like for the past 5 minutes, like a bunch of idiots here, welcome to Something Taglish.
All right, what are we reviewing today, Mike? Right.
We are reviewing Ang Pangarap Kong Hold Up. Is that right?
Ang pangarap kong hold up. Yep.
There you go.
Ang pangarap.
Ang pangarap kong hold up.
Ang pangarap hold up.
Ang pangarap kong hold up.
Ang pangarap kong hold up. This is actually, I've been wanting to do this movie for some time
now.
I
think it was just hard for me to watch. Do you know how much hoops? I had to go through hoops, man, to get
to
watch
hoops?
This.
How many hoops?
I didn't pirate it. Let's just say that, all right? I didn't pirate this
movie. I didn't expect you to because, you know, we don't do things like that.
We support
right?
local
we don't do things like
artists.
That. If you do know, that, you're
pay.
A dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't steal a car.
Did you do that?
You wouldn't download a car. No, I didn't.
Good. Good, because I'd be really, really upset if you did.
I only pirate American movies, which I got a warning.
We got to edit that out, man.
We'll leave that. Albert.
No
he's
one cares
in San Diego.
Anyway. No, it was
he
a joke.
Pirates stuff, not like me and Gio, who's here in Metro Manila. We do nothing of any sort. Who would go after you in the U.S.? It's not the FBI. That's not.
No. It's the copyright people. The cable company will send you a warning if
because
they catch you.
Been,
they'd be like,
they see
"Hey,
that you've been
hey, we've
so
noticed.
Much.
We've noticed you downloaded the copyrighted material."
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah.
I have to.
And
admit,
if you, I guess if you do it enough, if you don't stop,
if you do it so many times, you get a letter.
They can cancel your service.
I've had somebody. I think we know somebody that did that. Or that received that letter before. I never did because I never torrent nothing. I know about torrent, but I never torrent anything. I always just had friends who do it for me. Who would do it, put it on a flash drive and share it around.
We're
all guilty of that.
Yeah.
We are all guilty of that. Anyways, again, my name is Michael. If you didn't catch that, I'm all the way out here in Metro Manila. We've got Albert in San Diego. So if the cable company
California.
Want to go after him for copyright infringement. He's all the way out
it was
here
a joke.
In San Diego.
I don't do that.
He's not joking. He does that
I wouldn't
all the
download
time.
A car. I wouldn't steal a car.
You probably would. And all over here in Metro Manila, again, we've got Gio as well. What's up, Gio? I see
what's
you.
What's up, man? Hey, I listened to your music.
Really?
I looked it up. You mentioned what server was that? The sound?
Mixcloud, yeah.
Mixcloud, yeah. Pretty good, man. I'm like, you should be get a singer, maybe do some mixes like Dua Lipa type style stuff or the Chainsmokers.
If you're looking for somebody to sing, I'm pretty good.
You know? That would be cool, right?
Sige, Mike, sige. Like I'll put you there in the list.
No, you don't wanna hear Mike sing.
No, pero ano siya, like second kay Dua Lipa. Because syempre naman, I want to have Dua Lipa as someone to collaborate with.
Who
wouldn't?
Yeah.
Dude, I've got amazing talent.
One of my faves right now.
My karaoke talent is
oh my gosh. It is the
amazing.
Worst. It is the worst. You know how those people sing at karaoke at the stores? You know? If Mike does that, everybody will probably leave the store. He'll probably get kicked out too. It's like trying to drive away the customers.
No, dude, I would bring some people in.
Yeah, to kind of watch what the train wreck is, you know?
Yeah, to just video shoot me and just make it go viral, how bad I am.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. We can't do enough small talk because my back is killing me. If I
want to know more
today.
About Gio's music, man.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Gio.
Yeah. Plug.
How many chicks have you picked up?
I'll keep that to myself because I might provoke someone or some people.
Okay.
But just to plug, if you guys have time, I have a Mixcloud and I'm working on another set of mixes for the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So give it a listen, guys. It's mixcloud.com/Gio_...
Yeah,
which I have to change.
You probably should.
Hey, let me ask you a question. This just really popped into my head now. Is everything okay with you and the one girl? Never mind.
Wow. Okay.
We'll take that as a yes.
All right. No.
It's way too early for me to talk about.
Yeah. All right. I apologize.
Wait. Speaking of plugging in, subscribe if you like us. Go ahead and subscribe or follow us, Spotify, Apple Podcast.
Shout out to the new listeners out there. We've got somebody in Columbus, Ohio that's been listening to our podcast. Shout out to you. We're not sure who you are. Well, we're not sure who any of our listeners are because we honestly don't really promote this, especially Albert and I. Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
Thanks for finding us.
Yeah, that there's so many listeners that we're getting all over the globe. Shout out to the people. I think it was Switzerland, UAE, obviously Canada, Iceland. I think we got somebody from Iceland. That's kind of crazy. But just thank you for the support that you've been giving us.
Yeah, we got
amazing stuff.
We got large followers in Seattle. Surprisingly, Columbus, Ohio.
There are some Filipinos out there.
Because it's funny, because we're from Ohio. That's why we're kind of calling this out originally. Well,
she's getting close
now,
to home.
It's getting close. It's getting there. No one, I don't think any of our friends know what we do.
Yeah, nobody knows what we do.
The only way they're going to find out is if we get so famous that, we get shared and they're like, these guys sound so familiar. Their stupid voice sounds so familiar. Who are these?
Also, shout out to, who was that director that...
May Cruz. Shout out to her.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the support. That you listened to one of our podcasts, commented on IG. So thank you for the support. We really, really appreciate that. And if somehow you're listening to this again, we'd love to have you on as a guest. Actually would be really, really dope.
Yeah, and this is also for the listeners. If you guys know anyone who would love to be, who's got an artist, a local artist or something that would love to come to the show, that would be awesome. Because we want to try this thing where we interview people, to promote their local artists, Filipino artists, musicians, to kind of uplift our nationality.
Yeah. Albert and I had this idea to sort of, if you guys have noticed, the news has been sort of killed off because it kind of got depressing after a while. So what I pitched to Albert was, let's go ahead and interview some of the Filipino artists that we're meeting and that we're seeing out there so that we could really help the community get stronger and better and sort of be more in the forefront of mainstream media, especially in the U.S. We have such amazing talent that I don't think has been given the right sort of light, and maybe we can somehow help them in our small little circle to sort of get the attention that they deserve, because we do have some really amazing Filipino artists out here.
Yeah, we'd love to bring spotlight to them, because there are some amazing artists out there that doesn't get the daylight that they deserve.
Look at Gio, for example, right?
Gio, listen, go listen to his music. He's probably gonna improve and get better.
Hey, when he starts playing Vegas, we need to. He better not forget about us.
All right, that
I'm gonna have a special shout out for something Taglish.
All we get is
a shout out.
That's cool.
Wow. And probably a trip to Vegas.
A shout out.
I might get gas money from him to drive. Yeah, that's not crazy. Even a flight. Yeah. All right.
All right. So again, the movie for today's episode is Ang Pangarap Kong Hold Up. It came up back in 2018. It's about an hour and 47 minutes long. It's a comedy. 2018, back in November. It stars Pepe, man, sorry for my R's. Pepe Herrera. Pepe Herrera. Jared Napoles.
Say it slowly. Like
Pepe.
That's just how he speaks Tagalog, man.
Herrera. I have no R's. I have no R's.
Herrera.
Jelson Bay, Paolo Contes, Kate Alejandrino.
Alejandrino.
Yeah,
Kate Dindo Alejandrino. Arroyo, Gary Lim, and Penn Medina. Yeah, this was funny. Can somebody please explain what the movie was about? Because my back is killing me right now.
Gio, you want to take this?
Okay, fine. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take one for Mike.
Okay.
So just for anyone listening, A Pangarap Kong Hold Up is basically premised on three stooges who want to be known as the best hold-uppers in their barangay. The problem is they're just like three idiots who can't get anything right, who can't do anything right.
Sounds familiar.
So, oo nga, no?
Sounds kind of like us.
So that's basically the premise of the whole movie, and they're trying to prove themselves to Pepe Herrera's dad in the movie, which is played by Penn Medina. And they get into a series of really stupid scenarios that they try to stage a hold up of some sort. But dahil tatlo silang tanga, it ends up bad for them every single time.
Mm. Oh, the opening scene! I think that's probably one of my favorite opening scene because it's funny. You know, it's unexpected. You know, just some old guy telling a story, a dick joke, a titi joke, if you will. yeah, so if you're on our Instagram, I probably, because I have a video scheduled to, a clip to post of that opening scene. Yeah, it's basically about, you know, three friends in, you know, desperation, I guess. Are they desperate? Is that,
I think they're just trying to prove themselves that they're not stupid.
Well,
right?
They didn't have anything to eat, so that's kind of desperate because they're bad at hold-upping, right?
Yeah, but I think for me, the movie was more of, what is Pepe Herrera's character's name? God, what is that? Eman.
Eman.
Eman was like, he's the son of Ka Paeng, which is played by Ben Mendina. And it seems like the entire time he was just trying to sort of live up to his father's legacy. Because remember, his father was like the best hold-upper in their barangay, which is Barangay Husay. And they're just three idiots who, you know, for one thing, it's really cool to see that the two friends, you know, Toto and Carlo, really supported their friend Eman, even though, you know, like the loyalty was there, which I found to be really, really cool.
Yeah. I guess at the end of the day, this movie really is about friendship, right? It's not really about hold-upping. It's friendship. It's the friends we make. It's the friends we make along the way.
Right. How idiot and how stupid it may be.
Yeah, and how idiotic you and your friends may be.
Like, I mean, look at us three.
Mm-hmm.
for me lang, ha? Parang it's about friendship that revolves around the golden tite.
wait, Gio, tell them why what's important about the golden tite.
Oh yeah, do you remember the story of the golden tite?
I don't think I can do it justice. I just remember that galing siya kay Datong Puti for some weird reason. And it becomes funny. Like this whole MacGuffin for the whole movie.
Oh yeah. It was his a golden version, golden, or was phallus. It a golden mold of his tite?
Yeah, they molded his penis because he was going to give it to some chick, right?
Yeah.
When they were going to get married or something like that.
And it got lost, and some farmers, they found it.
But I think like who was like some people attacked him or went to war.
I can't remember the whole story.
Yeah, the girl like buried it. Or something like that. And so these farmers found it, and I guess it was worth like a bunch of money. And, you know, Eman and them were trying to steal it. His dad was trying to steal it. They all didn't know that they were both trying to steal the same thing. And then Bajau was, you know, this chick owed Bajau some money. He got involved in it. So it was just, it was basically like, yeah, it was like what, 3 or 4 different stories all coming together. But I thought they did really, really well. Yeah. I thought the movie.
Yeah, it's all these people in different situation, all revolving around the Golden Tete, right?
The director of this movie was Marius Talampas. He also wrote it. So shout out to you, Marius, for this, because I personally thought this movie was awesome. It gave me such a great laugh, especially when I first watched it. I'm assuming this is independent, right?
I don't know, is it? Okay, it is.
Okay. Yeah, so it's another case of an independent movie
doing
something fantastic compared to, like, you know, one with big backers.
Yeah, and it's so underrated too, because I don't think this made as much money. It only became more popular when it came out on Netflix, really. People only found out about it when it became Netflix. I wish it was on Netflix in the US. It's not. That's why it's so hard to, you know, to find, to watch. I have to VPN to Philippines to watch it. And that's not even all that, because not all VPN works, because Netflix is too smart for that.
We got to dial down on that, because Netflix might hear us and hate us for using VPNs.
Oh, they know. They know.
Yeah, I'm sure they know that people do that all the time.
Yeah, people do it. There are websites that, you know, that you can search what country it's available. And this one, I did the search, and it's only literally available in Philippines. There's no other country, not even another Asian country, it's available.
But yeah, shout out, like, to Netflix for...
Yeah.
You guys got to bring this elsewhere beyond the Philippines, because it's really, like...
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a really great movie.
It's funny. Yeah, it's,
you know, for me, good. like this came out in November 2018. I didn't hear anything about this until late last year, during the pandemic, when I was just scrolling through Netflix, and I was like, "What is that?" And first of all, like, when I saw the cover photo on Netflix, and, you know, they typically sort of rotate their cover photos, I didn't think anything of it. And then, like, I just sort of clicked on it, and I was like, "Ah, this is kind of dumb." But then I started watching, and I was like, "Holy crap! This is like hilarious." So, I mean, I really, again, this is one of those instances where, you know, an indie is so much better. They actually know what, like, the people want. And it's just kind of sad that they don't get the marketing budget as some of these bigger studios, because this movie would have been so amazing if it had, you know, if it had the opportunity, and I'm not sure if it did, if it had the opportunity to come out in theaters. I thought, you know, if more people knew about it, it would be really, really cool.
Yeah. Parang... Just to add to that, I think it had a limited run in 2018, and people were kind of frustrated that it only lasted for about 2 weeks before the theaters pulled it out.
Mm.
But just to add to what Mike said, one of the things that I noticed, because it's a movie, is that every single person involved in the movie, and especially the cast, these were guys in the theater and stand-up and improv scene in the Philippines. And shout out to... one of my favorite comedians, Si Red Olero. I'd love to have you here on the show. Just for you guys, for reference, Si Red is one of the fat guys kasama ng pinsan nila.
Toto.
Ba?
Hey, wait, he's part of the group, right?
No. Siya yung kalaban nilang group.
Okay.
So Si Red is the big fat, ano, parang body guy, ganun.
Ni Buboy or Balot?
Balot, yon.
Yeah. Gotcha. The big guy with, like, the curly hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, Balot. Okay.
So,
okay.
Oh, yeah, shout out kay Red.
Oh, you know him? Is that what you said?
I mean, I know him because I love his work. I love his work to stand up.
Yeah.
Plus, I love his work then sa Philippine Wrestling Revolution, PWR.
Wait, there's a wrestling revolution? This is news to me.
Yeah, dude.
PWR?
Wrestling has boomed locally, that there are 2 organizations now. Like, they had to stop producing shows, but they have a huge cult following here.
Can we get any of them in our show?
I didn't know there was wrestling here in the Philippines. Is it like wrestling like WWE or WWF?
Yeah, dude. Sobra inspired sila by, like, the over-the-top shit. Uh-huh. Like, with the characters and the storylines.
Right. I'm gonna check this out.
They're not really, like, great wrestlers. Like, iilan lang sa kanila yung nakakuha ng tryout with the WWE a few years back. But just the whole product, the whole content that they produce, man, it's entertaining as hell to see.
Hmm. I'm going to have to look that up. Interesting.
That's cool. No, no, that guy actually, that scene where he was talking with the mechanic under the car, I thought was pretty freaking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was funny. See, no? And the one thing about this movie was, you know, the typical sort of Filipino comedy, which is kind of like slapstick, kind of like a Dumb and Dumber kind of style movie. We don't get that here. There's an artist on ABS-CBN whose movies are typically just, I can't think of a word. they're just not what? Really, really good. Because I tried to watch one and on Netflix and I was like, man, this guy is just, he's just terrible.
Yeah, some of the comedies. I mean, I know that one guy who played the fourth guy who came in, right? The new
Paolo
guy.
Fontes.
I don't know. Spoiler alert. I don't, you know, of course, if you're a regular listeners, there are spoilers. I'm sure we'll spoil something. I know he's
we'll spoil the whole thing.
Bubble Gang, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right? He's in Bubble Gang.
And I've seen him, you know, because I YouTube, you know, I try to watch those shows, and I've tried to watch Bubble Gang, and that's so awful. That type of comedy, it's just these guys, right, in sketches, and then hot girl in bikinis or shorts, and that's it. They try to make like comedy out of that.
Yeah, and it seems like that's the kind of comedy
ridiculous.
That's popular here in the Philippines.
It's not funny. It's not funny.
Yeah, but the people here, you know, like Home Alone the Realist, like I never really found that funny, but people here love that kind of movie. Or that kind of sort of comedy. But in this movie...
Is it even comedy? Just exploiting a hot girl with their skimpy clothes? That's it. They that's all they do.
But I mean, it's
some
different.
Of these episodes are borderline perverted because they're like trying to touch and touch
it. Oh, it's not borderline. Like, some of those episodes are really perverted.
My goodness.
Like,
it's
no subtlety at all, man.
No, it's crazy. I can't watch all of it. I've never seen... I've watched so many clips of Bubble Gang and I stopped because it's not funny. It's just so stupid.
But
so
like, okay,
this was refreshing.
What did you find... Like, okay, what were your thoughts on this movie and like, how did you find a comedy in this to be, you know... Mm-hmm. Yeah, how did you find it to be?
I mean, one of my favorite comedies is Dumb and Dumber because, you know, it's stupid. And these three friends kind of has that, but it's still heartwarming because they're all friends, you know. And there are some good jokes like the guy under the car popping up and just and the dick jokes. I mean, the whole movie is basically a two-hour dick joke.
Right? Yeah, basically.
It's just
a golden dick joke.
A golden dick joke.
One of my favorite lines was in oh my God, I'm getting lost sa characters. But yung kontrabida when they were already having that confrontation in the bodega, whatever it is. Tapos humirit siya. Pera muna bago tite. And I laughed my ass off. Dude,
yeah, there was actually jokes. This wasn't like the comedy we were used to where, you know, you know what I mean?
Comedy, right? Stupid.
You know, with the...
Right.
Yeah. You know? Like, a lot too many physical comedy. I mean, this had that, but there are actually jokes and scenes that are funny that... has a setup and punchlines type thing. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought, you know, I really liked this movie a lot. Again, this was, for me, was really, really hilarious. I thought the three guys, the three main characters, which was Pepe, Gerald, and Gelson, the three friends, right? Mm-hmm. Who's Eman, Toto, and Carlo in the movie, was just super, super funny. I'm not sure who was Carlo? Carlo was the shorter guy, right? Of the three friends.
Yeah, what's his name?
Was he Carlo?
Gelson.
Gelson. Yeah, Gelson Bai.
Yeah. Who's the shorter guy?
Gelson Bai.
Gelson was okay. Gerald
like
was Toto was the taller guy, right? The one that tried to hypnotize the kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought that dude was
look
hilarious.
At us professional critics.
Well, like I honestly kind of got confused when watching it, but I thought the guy that was trying to hypnotize a kid, which I'm assuming was Toto, I think he was Toto, I thought he was funny. Like his accent, the way he was talking, I don't know if that was real or what, but I just thought he was hilarious. And I thought just the three main characters I thought was genuinely funny. I've seen other movies though with Pepe in the past few weeks, and I thought he's really, really cool. And he's another guy that I really hope he gets a really big break, because I think he's a pretty good actor.
Yeah. And also Jelson Bai, I saw him in the first time I saw him was in the movie with Sue Ramirez, Finding Agnes. I thought he was good in that movie. I like that movie. If we ever review it, but he was good in that movie, and I thought he was pretty good in this movie as well. Mm-hmm. So,
I'm gonna speak a bit about Pepe Herrera just because I'm such a huge fan. I've seen him in Rock of Ages, the stage musical here.
Look at that.
And dude,
wait, Rock of Ages, is that? That's not the Eraserhead musical, is it?
It's the Ages musical.
Oh, the actual Rock of Ages with the 80s music.
No. Like Ages, like the Filipino.
Oh,
rock
old
band.
Old Ages.
Like Old Ages, yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. Okay. I've never heard of it.
So yeah, oh, shout out lang din kay Pepe Herrera. He's really like another unsung talent here. Mm-hmm. And his star shined here sa Ang Pangarap Kong Hold Up. Like he carried. Actually, silang tatlo, they carried this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think there's gonna be other actors who can do this type of comedy justice dito sa Philippines. So that's my take.
All right, let me ask you, Gio, since you know you seem like a someone smart, smarter than Mike. So that's why I'm asking you, because you're the only two options I have here. So.
If I was in a pain right now, I'd say something to you.
I'm losing my train of thought because I spoke too much about the smartness. All right. So, okay, independent film versus the bigger budget ones with ABS-CBS, you know, GMA, Star Cinema, or Viva. Why is independent films so much better than, in your opinion? I don't know the politics of movies in Philippines at all. I wish we could get someone who's like familiar, but why is it that independent films is so much better in Philippines than the bigger budget?
I'd like to think that for one, independent films in the Philippines, it's always a labor of love. Like if you see a lot of the indie films, they do have something to say with their scripts. The directors have a vision of where they want to take the story and where they want to take the characters. And they just really take their time to develop these in pretty much any indie film. Without studio interference, without all the nasty politics that goes behind the scenes. And if I'm gonna pinpoint some of the things that I've noticed sa mainstream cinema, like with Star Cinema and Viva Films, ang dami nilang pinipilit na ipasok na elements just to appease certain groups or just to please, like, for example, I remember sa Four Sisters and a Wedding, I was shitting on the fact that the Rubisco product placement was very, parang badly put, it was too much on the nose. Sobrang pilit. So that's the thing that really happens sa mainstream cinema. Na ang dami nilang tinatry ipasok, and it's always because of politics. It's always because we have to make like a business decision. We have to make it sell. And, you know, as a result, the product suffers greatly. It suffers a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've talked about this, especially when reviewing those other movies where they have, especially with love teams, you know, that's their focus is the love team because they know it's marketable. They know people watch no matter what it is. Because if you ask somebody here, even if they watch Filipino movies, a lot of the replies are, you know, I haven't really seen lately, but when I do, you know, I love the cheesiness of it. They never say they watch it because they like it. They watch it because it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah,
you know, they don't watch it like, oh, it's a good movie. So I wish. The bigger studios realize that because they just keep making these crap.
Well, one thing I would have to piggyback with what Guy was said, that the indies are more of a labor of love, whereas the big studios, I think they're depends on what artists they're trying to promote at a certain time. Like if you, for example, like with ABS, you know, pre-pandemic and pre-whatever issues that they had with whatever, you know, with the monies and whatnot, every December it was always like you could always count on a Vice Ganda movie. And, you know, because that was like his thing or her thing was to make sure that, you know, Christmas time, or I think it was like Christmas that he had to be a box office hit. So what ended up happening was some of the movie that they created, yeah, the first one might have been cool or whatever, but the rest were more bilit or depends on what artist that they're trying to push, right? If they if this month or next month they need to push Ann Curtis because she's coming out with a movie, a new TV show, a record album, then they're going to push the hell out of her regardless of the quality. You know, the one thing I've noticed with the bigger studios is it isn't necessarily let's create one really good thing for this artist or whatever. It's more of let's create 100 things for this artist regardless of the qualities just so that they can get their name out there and that the masses can see them. Whereas an indie film like this guy who directed it and wrote it, I'm assuming he spent quite some time to really sort of dial everything down to make sure that everything was good and that each role wasn't sort of, or each character wasn't written for a specific artist. You know, and again, that's something that you get with the Kathleen Bernardo and your boy Daniel Padilla, where,
my boy.
We're going to write the script and make sure that Daniel Padilla is in it. Whereas, no, we're going to write a script and then cast what artist we think is going to be good for the character.
Right. Yeah, that's a big thing. Do you guys think if they pluck out, like, the director of Love or Money, what's her name? We just mentioned her earlier. If one of the independent studios pluck her out and hire her to do her own story, do you think it'll be that much different than if she was at ABS?
Yes,
do you think she'd be like shine more?
Yes, because whoever did the casting for Love or Money, right? If you really cast it based on the character, you would not have picked Coco Martin. Sorry, you just wouldn't. He's not that kind of a dude, right? So just like, for example, for this movie, and we're sort of moving away from the movie, but if you cast this movie with ABS-CBN on there, do you really think Daniel Padilla can pull off any of these characters?
Not at all.
Nope.
But I bet you he would be in the movie.
He's not, no. That's a good point. Again,
who's Mr. Suave? Who's that guy?
Mr. Suave.
Yeah. Who's that guy?
Lake. How's that go, Gio?
Gio, who's that guy?
Mr. Suave. Suave?
Yeah. Who's the actor?
Bong Navarro.
Yeah. Bong Navarro would probably be in this movie if it was up to ABS-CBN, right? But and same thing with like with Vice Ganda would probably be in this movie or something like that.
I'm just gonna piggyback on something that Mike said then in terms of like creating characters with a specific actor in mind. I think one of the things kasi that was so brilliant with Ang Pangarap Kong Hold Up was that they used the stereotypes we have of yung mga hold up or sa kanto, sa mga barangay. But they actually give it justice by putting in guys who can bring heart to it. It's so ironic that we're so scared of these hold uppers, but the movie kind of sheds some light on, you know, that these are people, actual people. Like, kataon lang that the premise is very, like, farcical. It's very crazy because you need it for a comedy. But if you deep dive into what the movie is trying to say, ang dami niyang layers of meaning, ang dami niyang gusto niyang sabihin about, like, crime and hold uppers and this whole situation that people in the streets are facing. So that I don't think that any other actor sa roster ng Star or ng ABS or Viva can give it justice. Like, to your point, can you imagine si DJ, si Daniel Padilla, shout out to you, DJ, kung nasan ka man. Like, can you imagine him, like, doing the whole hypnotism scene?
I can't imagine any of them making a movie based on a dick joke.
Like I said, if it was up to ABS, you would have Bong Navarro, you know, Daniel Padilla, and like Vice Ganda in this movie. Which, if that happened, the movie would not, it would have been shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
It would have been, that kind of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyone listening in right now at this moment, we're just like having a seizure at the moment.
My mic's back is really hurting. I mean, that guy's getting so old. How are you now? 65?
So right now.
You're 65, right?
It certainly feels like I'm like, you know, backstory. I blew out my back the other day. And the past couple of days is like the first day that I'm sort of up and walking. I feel like I'm 90, and God knock on wood, this doesn't happen. But I hope I don't get to a point where I'm 80 years old and having to go through like some of the pain that some of these folks are going through. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get old, but I also like don't want to.
You don't,
like,
want to suffer. Yeah.
I don't want to suffer through like a broken hip or something stupid like that.
Yeah, you'd be on your third hip replacement.
Right. Yeah.
Damn. How about you lose weight, Mike? Start with that.
Dude, I got abs, man. I just don't know what happened.
They're hiding.
Like I said, me and my boy, shout out to my boy Derek. I mean, we've been working out. I just don't know what happens.
Man, I've been watching, or I've been seeing his Instagram, and it's all about him and what's her name?
Ellen.
They're just inseparable right now.
Well, you know? I think they live together. That's why they're inseparable.
Well, yeah, but they're like conjoined. They're just every picture. They're like literally sticking to each other.
Are we talking about a movie? Or are we talking?
Yeah, let's
about
talk about. Now? Let's get back into the movie.
I was gonna segue and say that Mike, mahiya ka naman kay Kapaeng. At this age, he can still run the whole damn show.
That guy is pretty cool. Like that, I would be intimidated if that dude was my dad, and he was, you know, the number one hold upper sa barangay Husay. He seems like, you know, he knows what he's doing.
You know, do you guys feel this? Criminality a little bit light, kind of giving that, you know. I mean,
I have a point
because it's very dangerous, you know, getting the other side of being holed up,
and it happens all the time.
It happens a lot.
It's a reality, man.
Yeah,
like ako, I have this whole point when I was one of the notes that I have when I was watching it was like the best comedies are those that are satirical and. Again, they have a lot to say. Reality is often like a comedy, yun yung perspective. And then comedy reflects that reality. Because, like, okay, I don't want to sound like a bad person, but the whole premise of getting holed up is in itself very funny when you think about it. Like, ang dami mong pwedeng hugutin na jokes and all that. So, it's not really like making criminality like as. Like putting it in a good light, but it's really pinpointing how funny and how absurd these types of situations are. And again, props to the director and props to the really amazing script for juggling that.
And for me, I don't think it makes light of it, but I think it sort of gives you a different perspective on what the holdupper's life is like. You know what I mean? Again, it's kind of like a reality, right? Where we know that these holdoppers sort of typically work for a bigger group, right? Mm-hmm. For a bigger organization. And again, we see that in this movie. And
that's something I kind of learned, that it's not just...
It's not, you know, not just working
it's just not a group of friends who's like, let's just go... There's actually a syndicate or a group that, you know, they have a boss. But yeah, sorry, go on, Mike.
No, and I was going to say, like, you know, these people... You know, for the lack of opportunities here in the Philippines, sort of have to make their own way of living. And yeah, is it good? Of course, it's not good. Like you don't want to steal from people, but this is the only way that they know. And with these guys, it sort of sheds the light of these three guys are not holdoppers, but yet this is kind of like their only way of life that they know of because this is the environment that they grew up in. So regardless of, you know, and at the end, right, where Emma's dad, you know, sort of spoiler alert, but dies, he says, "You're not a holdup. This isn't for you, right? But you are a good person. You are a great person. But this isn't the kind of lifestyle for you." And the dad sees that, and we see that throughout that movie, that not everybody's meant to do this kind of job, and that you shouldn't do this kind of job, but that there are better opportunities out there for you if you just put a bit more effort into it. And these guys, we see that these guys, in the lack of effort that they're putting into each hold up scenario, sucked because they're not meant for this kind of job.
Yeah. And may I say, a lot, spoiler, just warning, spoiler alert, a lot of people died in this movie. That was a little bit surprising. It got kind of violent there at the end with the shooting.
It went old boy, man.
But the fake blood that was like terrible.
You think so? I didn't even notice. I didn't even pay attention to the fake blood. But yeah, speaking of old boy, I love old boy. Speaking of old boy, Mike looks like an old boy right now. All right. Let's see. Let's see what other people are, what they think about this movie, shall we? In IMDb, this is overall is 6.9 out of 10. One person who rated this 6 out of 10 says his name is, or she is, our reviewer. It's a fun movie. The story was really predictable. I honestly mostly laugh on the old jokes they reused most, especially with Boy Bustos. Have you guys seen Boy Bustos?
I have not seen that.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah?
All right. Maybe we need to watch that.
Maybe we need to watch that. Maybe there's something we're missing here. First Filipino heist movie I've seen, and it's a bit enjoyable. I just wish they have not reused too much the old routines. See, we're kind of naive in this because we don't know about the old jokes. Someone rated this 8 out of 10. Filipino heist type movies are rarity. And the fact that it was also a comedy is something that delighted me. Iman's father played by Pen Medina, a solid actor, is endearing because he genuinely loved his son, even though Iman was not as skilled as the father. See, it's about love, this movie. It's about, you might think it's about criminal, but no. It's about love.
It's about love in a golden phallus.
It's about love, it's about friendship. And there's the golden titi.
Golden phallus, yeah. The golden titi.
And I like how they didn't have to bring like a major sexy sort of actress in the movie to bring some pull in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I like that. I appreciated that.
Not like every skit in freaking Bubble Gang. Seriously, stop it. I get all it. Right. You can have it once in a while, do it, because
eye
candy is good. Eye candy is good, but not all the time. Seriously.
Yeah, if you want to bring in some ugly folks, you can give us a call. All right, what would you guys rate this movie?
Well, they already have... They're guys really aren't that good looking in Bubble
Gang. No, they're
gang.
Not. They're terrible.
It's the females that's really, yeah.
All right. Yeah, so how would you guys rate this movie?
Good,
Who
Gio.
Wants to go first? Go ahead,
go
Gio.
Go for it, Gio.
I'd give it like, actually, a 9.
Whoa!
Wow!
That is up there.
To let you know, Gio, I think our highest rating movie so far has been Familia Ordinario. I think has been like the highest. And then I think it was like Fangirl and Love Veers and Vodka. Is that it? Is that right, Albert?
Sound like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Wow.
So it's a really high bar. But I'm gonna justify the 9 because for one, I'm a sucker for comedies like this.
Sure.
Yeah. One of the things I thought about after watching this was that it reminds me of those old Mel Brooks comedies. Like there's a lot of things going on, a lot of characters being brought in, and they're setting it up for like this big comedic climax.
Mm-hmm.
So I really loved that. And syempre the gags, man, like ang daming gags na they, for me, it didn't feel forced. Ang smart nung play nila with, like, for example, one of the scenes that I loved was when si Paolo Contis was in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Tapos paglabas niya, PWD bathroom pala siya. Like, it was, like, on paper, it sounds so absurd, but the way they build up to the punchline, like,
yeah.
man.
You know how he threw the towel out the window?
Uh-oh.
I was expecting it to like fall on somebody, but it was never followed up where the towel went.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be like on one of the guy's heads or something like that. And you know what? For an ABS-CBN movie, that would have happened.
Probably.
Yeah.
It would have been cut to the guy, and the guy would have been like, then it would have been like a music, and then that stupid laugh track that laugh would probably come on. Do you know that laugh, that little tiny laugh that they always freaking use? Do you know why they use that, Mike?
Why?
Do you know why? Because they know it's not funny. They need that laugh track
to force people to laugh. It's kind of like your joke is so bad that you laugh at your own joke or you laugh at yourself. Yeah. And you laugh hard enough that other people will laugh with you.
Exactly. That's what, I do that all the time because I like to think I'm funny, but people say I'm not.
No, you're not.
So I laugh at my own joke. So anyways, I
shout out to Edlin.
He's one of our dudes who laughs a lot at his own jokes.
At his own dumb jokes.
Anyways, that's what it is. Yeah, and they would probably put that in. They would like do a little fast forward of the guy running around with the towel in his head, the towel poop. But so predictable. Well, let's not get into that. It's
all right. What's your score, Abar?
Wow. It's such a high remark, I feel.
Yeah. Mine's going to be a disappointment compared to Guido's.
For me, it's actually pretty high for me because I'm very particular about the movies I watch. I give it a 6, which is pretty high for me. Yeah.
Anything else? You want to add anything to that?
Well, what else is there to add? I mean, this was enjoyable for me, and I recommend it to people. There are some things, I had a problem with that, like the guy, spoiler, was suddenly an undercover cop. For what reason? I don't know. things like that.
For me, right? I thought this, if I had to rate this, I'd give this movie like a 7.2. And again, it's so far, if man, we have to really keep track of the scores that we give our movie.
Yeah, I'm going to build a website. Maybe we'll keep track of our scores.
Yeah, keep track of everything. But for me, I thought this movie was great. It was another sort of amazing independent movie to show you the kind of talent that we have here in the Philippines. Fantastic movie. I thought the three main characters did really, really well. I thought Pepe Herrera was just fantastic. I love the guy that plays Toto and Carlo as well. They were super, super funny. The storyline I thought was great. If I had to really nitpick on this movie, it would just be like sort of like the shooting scene. The blood splatter was kind of terrible. But otherwise, I thought the movie was hilarious. This is one of those movies where I can watch it. I've watched it 4 times already. I can keep watching it and it was still sort of, I would never skip sort of a scene. Whereas in other movies, you can, watch it for the first time and you can skip and you can know exactly sort of what you miss. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those movies that I can watch, another sort of 5-6 times and I would never skip a scene. So fantastic job to the director and who's also the writer and all of the characters involved.
Yeah, cinematography, we didn't even mention any of those technical stuff, was pretty good. It was top notch. Yeah, so that's pretty good. What'd you guys take out, get out from this movie? Like, to me, it shows that there's talent there, that they can make good movies. It's out there. It needs some watering, the seed, plant it, and let it grow.
I agree, Albert.
Yeah,
I'm also like watching Mike now.
Why he's suffering so bad?
Oh man,
I feel bad for that dude. Yeah, he's standing up now, just stretching his bad back. He looks awful. He looks like he's 120 years old. My goodness, you gotta get that taken care of. We can't concentrate. Go ahead, Gio. What? Anything else you want to say?
Oh, like just some closing thoughts. It's the talk about talent. It's the talk about having the right script or developing the right script, developing the right stories. Because there are a lot of stories to tell. And if you have that eye for wanting to say something with these stories, then I'm all for it. Ang pangarap kong hold up is just one of those examples of that. Like, you just really have to dig deep. Kasi ang daming pwedeng sabihin with this whole Filipino experience and the whole in the cinema. So yeah, just mad props to everyone involved in. Yun yung take away ko.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of stories to tell out there. You just gotta tell it right. It doesn't always have to be a love team, a romantic comedy without even the comedy. A lot of the rom-com out there doesn't even have the comedy. So I don't know why they call it comedy. But Mike, get back here, man. Any closing thoughts? We're going to let you go soon here.
Yeah, just congrats to everybody that was involved in this movie. Again, fantastic stuff. And my I'm in pain.
Oh, man. Feel better, man, because we got to tape again next week. All right, Mike, close it out.
All right, guys, again, sorry. Sorry if I'm in pain. Anyways, okay. This is Something Taglish. Again, thank you. That was the review.
Follow us, subscribe.
Ang pangarap kong hold up. My name is Share. Michael Mott here in Metro Manila with Gio. And all the way out there from San Diego, we've got Albert, who is a terrible comedian himself. So peace.
Bye.